Parsha of Zinu is probably my favorite Parsha ever. The reason why is because it's awesome, and I never, ever, ever get to give share on it. You know how many times you hear, oh, Ellie, Sam, hey, what's going on?
Morning, hey, Sam, how are you doing?
Anyway, so...
Sam the man. So, hey, Sam the man.
No, what's it called? So I never get to give share on it. The last time I gave share was Tushin Samach Vav, I believe. Hey, and the year before that was Tushin Samach Dalet. That was the last two times I was able to give share, and I never get, because Hazinu was always like right in the middle of the week, and there's Rosh Hashanah come up, and Yom Kippur is all around, and it's like, it's just in the middle of nowhere. So here we go. Hazino Hashemayim v'adabera, listen to this, listen, O sky, and I will speak. V'sishmaris imrei fi, and the land should listen to the words coming out of my mouth. So the Tiferet Shlomo, the Radamsker says, someone with Yiras Shamayim, if you have Yiras Shamayim, if you have fear of heaven, then your words will be listened to. Your words will be listened to. This is words of Chazal. If you have Yiras Shamayim, you will be listened to. The question is, because it's obvious, you see a lot of people that have Yiras Shamayim that nobody listens to. People don't listen to a word they say. They say whatever they want, and people look at them and say, like, whatever. And they walk away. A lot of people hear something. A lot of different rabbanim that are very, very chashiv, but they're just not listened to. The Maggid of Kuznets was well known as being unbelievable when it came to Dibukim, when they were possessed souls. People that were possessed by whatever it was, Shadim or by other things, the Maggid of Kuznets is always called in, and every time, within minutes, the spirit would leave, and the person would be normal again. Maggid of Kuznets was well known for it. He did it all the time. So people were wondering, they didn't understand it. They said, what is this? Like, why all of a sudden, how are you able to do this? So Maggid of Kuznets says, it's not a big wonder. Shamayim listens to a tzaddik. Now, in economy, Maggid is calling himself a tzaddik, but he could. We can't. He could. But he says, Shamayim listens to a tzaddik. That whatever is inside this person is in Shamayim. So they understand it's the Rishayim that are down in this on the earth, who don't see how great of a person a tzaddik is, so therefore they don't listen to him. But in Shamayim, they listen to every single thing a tzaddik says. When a tzaddik says something, they pay attention and make sure it's all there. It's the Rishayim who don't take Musar. It's a Kal V'chomer. Hazinu Hashamayim V'adaber, if the sky listens when I speak, then Sishma Oretz Imrei Fi. Then the ground, everybody on the ground, everybody who's here on earth, should definitely listen to me. Chazal say it's in Yaakov Ruvain. Yaakov Ruvain says, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke any word, just a single word, all of Shemayim stopped whatever they were doing, and they listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Every malach in Shemayim, every koch up in the sky, everything that was going on, whatever was happening up there, probably important things are going on up there, everybody stopped whatever they were doing to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hear what Moshe Rabbeinu has to say. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak and stop everybody. If you have a person like that, then Sishma Aretz Imrei Fi. Everyone on earth listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. There wasn't a single person who had the ability to look at Moshe Rabbeinu's face and argue with him. They couldn't do it. They had absolutely nothing to do. You know, there's a famous acronym that they say about this parasha, Hazivloch. It's Hazivloch is mentioned in Gemara Rosh Hashanah to where the Aliyahs are. The first one is Ha'azinu. The second one is Zechor, the Zion. And then there's Yarkibeu, that's a Yud. Then after it's Bayar Hashem, that's Haziv. Haziv, and then Loch. It goes on, there's a big question about what they are exactly, Luchachmu, and over here, we don't have the same way that they did. They have Luchachmu, and Ki Esau Shamayim. So you have Haziv Loch. The Machlok is the Rambam, the Ramban, all these different sheets about what it is. What does Haziv Loch mean? They looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw what? He had a mask on all the time. Why? Because his face shone like a light. He had an aura that just went out from his face, a crazy light, that nobody's even able to look at him. They had to close their eyes, they had to turn their face a little bit to be able to look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was awesome, literally awesome. You couldn't look at him. So all B'nai Yisrael thought, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu. It's that our crowns that were taken from us, from Har Sinai, we lost our crowns in Nasa and Nishma. They said Nasa and Nishma, and the Malachim all took crowns and put it on their heads, Nasa and then Nishma on top. When they did, they goes up, it was taken away. Right at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to Shemayim, and he came back down, and he had a splendor, a Karen Or, you know, the horns of Moses. He had a Karen Or, he had a face that shone like a light from down there. They said, it's from our crowns. So what's going to happen when he dies? We'll get our crowns back. And then the light will go, the light will be given back to us. We'll have that light back for ourselves. It won't be as bright as Moshe Rabbeinu. All of our lights together is what Moshe Rabbeinu has, but at least we'll get 1/600,000th of that light. And we'll also shine, we'll also do that. But when Moshe Rabbeinu died, nothing happened. They didn't get it back. And they realized, Haziv, the splendor, Loch, is all yours. That's what they got from Hazinu. There wasn't a single person that was there in Bnei Yisrael that understood a single word that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu said Parsha Hazinu. She's like, what in the world is going on? All the Sodas HaTorah are mentioned in this Parsha. Everything in the world, the Ramban says, everything that has ever happened, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but everything that has ever happened, that will ever happen, that was happening at that moment, it's all in Parsha Hazinu. All in Hazinu. It's all there. It's nutty. Absolutely nutty. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he set it out. I was just like, okay, listen, I'm going to give you 620 words, and you're going to hear them, and it's going to contain everything you can possibly imagine. Hazivlach. They heard that, and they said, everything is yours. You are the absolute greatest person to have ever lived, and the greatest Navi to have ever lived. There's nothing like you. However, I don't think anybody realizes the koach that you have. Here's an unbelievable line over here. At the impartial Pasuk Ches, it says, "B'hachol Yom Goyim," when the upper spheres gave a nachla to the nations, "Bachrido b'nei Adam," and separated different people from each other. That was by Dor HaHaflaga, when they made the Tower of Babel and they were separated from one another. "Yatzev Gevulos Amim," they stood at the borders of the nations, "L'mispar b'nei Yisrael," by the number of b'nei Yisrael. How many nations are there in the world? 70. The number of B'nai Yisrael, the numbers of the sons of Yaakov that went down to Mitzrayim. So all the nations that were split at the time of the Tower of Babel were 70, the same number as B'nai Yisrael when they went down to Mitzrayim. Okay, so here we go. The Shem Yishmol.
What does that matter?
That's okay. Exactly right. Yeah. Okay. The Shem Yishmol. Don't give it away. Shem Yishmol says, all 70 nations of the world connect with each one of the 70 people that went down to Mitzrayim. When they weren't 70 nations yet. They didn't just separate. The 70 nations were finally 70 nations when there were 70 Jews going down to Mitzrayim. So listen to what the Shem Yishmol says. Every Jew represented a nation. Every different Jew represented a nation. So Reuven stood for one, and Shimon stood for another one, and Reuven's kids stood for each one stood for a different one. Each person of those 70 represented a nation. And if that person would be Shalem, if it would be Mashlem himself, he'd be totally perfect in every way, shape, and form, you look at him and say, that's a perfect person, then that nation that he represents would be perfect. Because everything that he stood for is what the nation was. He represented the nation. Do you realize, when the people got bigger, the nations got bigger. We don't have 70 nations now. There's hundreds of thousands of nations. There's unbelievable amounts of nations. Because there's many more Jews. Every Jew still represents a nation. And it could be, they even represent two or three or four nations. And all these nations are yours. They are yours. They're part of your neshama. They have a chilek from your neshama. It's all part of yours. It's a long vort that you could get into about all the different things that you own are part of your neshama. The house that you own, the car that you own, all the different things, a notebook that you own. It's part of your neshama. It's all part of your chalik of your neshama. It's yours. It's yours. And if somebody steals from you, they're not just stealing your stuff. They're stealing the chalik from your neshama. They're taking a part of your neshama and they're taking it for themselves. That's feeling so bad, aside from the obvious. Aside from the absolute obvious. Do you realize the responsibility you have on your shoulders? Do you realize that Chazal aren't joking when they say there's an earthquake in China and hundreds of thousands of people are killed and they say it's because of us that we didn't daven? It is. Because that might be your nation. Could be you woke up late for Shacharis one morning, so there were tremors. They had a 3.6 on the Richter scale. That's what ended up happening. It's a crazy concept. You have responsibility beyond anything else ever in the world. There's nothing like it. Now, granted, hold on a second. We're not that powerful. We're not powerful like the 70 nations. We're not powerful like the 70 people who went down to Mitzrayim. We don't have that power. And it doesn't manifest itself as much as it did then. Thank God that every time we sin, they get something, you know, we get punished and they get punished. Or every time we do a mitzvah, they get rewarded and we get rewarded. It's not exactly the same thing. We're not that far off. But there's something there. There's something that's on your shoulders. When you're davening Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have to daven for everything that's a part of you. You have to for the nations of the world. You have to for everything. Do you notice? Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu. It's not, you think you go through it, well, I didn't do this. I never did this. I used to go through the Tefillah of the Chida, going through the Vidua and being like checking off the things that apply to me. It's in plural. It doesn't matter if I did it or not. If anybody here did it, then I still have to do Vidua for it. It doesn't make a difference. We're all together on this one. Everybody is connected to one another on this one. Only B'nai Yisrael when it comes to Vidur. Only B'nai Yisrael, not the other nations of the world. But it's an unbelievable line. Unbelievable line. China gets an earthquake because I went to Chakras late this morning. Because I got to Chakras late. And all of a sudden, something happens. something happens. It's just, it's unreal. You can read the news, you can listen to the news and not cry when you hear about a kid drowning in a flash flood down south. These weird stories. It's all because we're missing something. Zechor Yomos Olam, the Pasuk says. In Pasuk Zion, remember the days of old when there were 70 nations, and each nation represented a certain part of Klal Yisrael, but Binu Shnos Dor Vador. Know that every generation, Shnos, even though that means years, can also be translated as change, we change. But you still have something, there's still something there. Now, you got to be careful of Gaiva over here. Yes, we have an awesome power. We have an unbelievable amount of power. We can do unreal things in this world. But remember how low we are now. Remember, we're not the same. We're not the same as what it was back then. We have to change things. We have to do things, but we got to have our help. But that's you. Forget about Moshe Rabbeinu for a second. Moshe Rabbeinu being this unbelievable person who was up high and the greatest person who have ever lived. Us ourselves have an unbelievable power. Okay. Rav Olson. You need Rav Olson. What's up, Benny?
So a ger gets the nation when he converts?
A ger is allowed something new. We don't know what happens. It could be, listen, this gets into like really, you know, further into things that we just don't know. It could be when a ger converts, that's when another nation forms. That's when another nation separates itself from the other nations that are out there. This is not 70 nations, not 600,000, it's 600,001 nations. We have no idea. We have absolutely no idea. But yes, he has the same concept, but he has a new neshama, it's a different type of neshama, and that neshama connects with somebody out there. The question is, why 70? I mean, why not say there are three nations in the world for the three of us? Why not say there are 12 nations in the world for the 12 Shvatim? I mean, that would be good. 600,000 nations in the world for the 600,000 people. What's the Mispah B'nai Yisrael? What's the Mispah B'nai Yisrael? Plus, when did they get 70? So if you include Yaakov Avinu, that's one thing. But according to this word that we're saying right now, it's not Yaakov Avinu. It's the children of Yisrael, because Yaakov Avinu was Shalim. What nation was Shalim out there? There's no other nation like that. So it had to be, who was the 70th one? The Gemara goes to it. Who was that 70th? No, not it. Yochaved. Yocheved is mentioned by the Gemara. What happened to Yocheved? Where was Yocheved born?
In the gates.
No, the Benachomos, right by the gates, right by the walls of Mitzrayim. Why did it? They were only 70 when they hit the gates of Mitzrayim. Sort of awesome type of question. They were only 70 when they hit the gates of Mitzrayim. So why are the 70 nations of the world only, we're only representing them when we hit the gates of Mitzrayim? Only when we got there. Before that point, it wasn't. It's only 69. We didn't represent. But only then when we hit there, what happened there? So Rav Olson says the following. He says, when B'nai Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, we don't compare to any Am. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have the base of Mikdash, and we're doing the right thing, we're doing the Ratzon Hashem, no other Am comes anywhere near us. We can't even compare 70 nations to the 70 Jews. Can't compare anything to anyone else. It's a different level. We're on a completely different level. We're on a completely different plane. You don't really compare. You don't take the 70 nations to the 70 Jews. One has nothing to do with the other. When we're in Golos, then we compare to the other nations of the world. For good or for bad. We compare to the other nations of the world. Yatzev Gvulos Amin. When we're standing at the borders of the nations, when we're outside of Eretz Yisrael, when we're in Galus, then L'mispar B'nai Yisrael. Our number can represent the other nations of the world, and we can affect, we can do something for them. Only when we're in Galus does that happen. Otherwise, we're on our own. We're a totally separate Bria. We're totally separate from one another. It's like Shevet Levi. And that's completely different. That's why we read it Dafka during Tishrei. Why during Tishrei? What do we do in Tishrei? We do din, obviously, but what do we bring in Tishrei that represents the other nations of the world? And Sukkos.
Korbanos.
What korbanos?
The bulls.
The 70 cows that we bring for what? For the 70 nations. Dafka now! Because this is the time when we're standing there in din, going into, while we're in Golos, while we're standing around there, that's when they had the idea of the 70 palm. Now, granted, the 70 palm was brought when the Beis HaMikdash was around. But the reason why was simply put because at that point we couldn't represent those 70 nations. The 70 nations needed help separate from us because we were in Eretz Yisrael. We were doing the right thing. 70 palm were brought just for that reason. Okay, now we get into the famous story. Everybody's heard this story in some way, shape, or form sometime during their life. It might have been when you were a baby. It might have been to like a famous lullaby. Everybody's heard the story about Avner in this week's parsha. We're going to try to go into it just a little bit. You want to go into the power of a Jew and what a Jew has and how much power each Jew has. Yeah, it's just famous. The Ramban quotes a Sifri. The Sifri says, Gidola Shirazu, this Shira of Avazin was so great, Shishbo Achshav, Lisha'avar Lazid level. It's got everything now, it's got the past, and it's got the future, it's got everything in it. Anything you can imagine, it's inside this week's Parsha. Thus, Vayedavar is called Divrei HaShirazos. All the words of the Shira, it represents everything. As in, it contains everything. Yalkut Reuveni brings from a Sefer called Emek HaMelech, a story of a Talmud of the Ramban. The Talmud of the Ramban's name was Avner. Now, Avner, his question to Halda Meisa goes exactly, I'm quoting it from the Emek HaMelech. The Talmud named Avner became a big guy, became a nice, you know, a good person out there, and he ended up going in front of the Ramban, shechting a pig, eating the pig. This supposedly was on Yom Kippur, although I don't know why the Ramban wouldn't have been in Shul on Yom Kippur. Probably the Ramban made it to Shul on Yom Kippur. I can't promise you that, but most probably he made it to Shul on Yom Kippur. But a great guy shechted a pig, ate the pig on Yom Kippur, and said to the Ramban, how many times am I over karis? How many krisus am I over? And the Ramban said, a certain amount. The Avner said, no, it's not that. It's really something different. But it's really something different. They got into a machlokes about it. And the Ramban looked at him and said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? He just looked at him and said, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? What happened? So Avner said, you really want to know? The Ramban said, tell me. What happened? So Avner said, you told me that in Parshas Hazinu was everything that has ever happened, that ever will be, etc. So the Ramban says, yeah, 100%, it's Sifri. It's true. Everything is in this Parsha. He said, it's impossible. 620 words cannot be that everything is in this Parsha. So the Ramban said, try me. Ask me anything. So Avner said, where am I? Find me. So Ramban went to a corner, came back, told him, Pasuk Chavav. Pasuk says, Amarti as Ahem Ashbisa Me'anosh Zichron. I said, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I will destroy them. I will remove from all of humankind any remembrance of them. That's that Pasuk. The third letter in each word is Amarti, Resh, as in red. As Ahem is Aleph. Ashbisa is Beis, Me'enosh is Nun, Zichram is Resh. The third letter is Reb, of each word is Reb Avner. Said, that's you. That's you. So Avner went crazy. He said, what's going to happen to me? So he said, you heard the Pasuk. Amarti, Afeyam, Ashbisa, Me'enosh, Zichram, I'm going to destroy them for all mankind. No one's going to hear of you ever again. You're going to be gone. So Avner went crazy. He went out, went on a ship. He was never heard from ever again. Never heard from ever again. So, such a crazy story. That's the story of the year. That's like the lullaby. That's what everybody talks about. What? Oh, you got it. Rafi, that is the pshat right there. Rav Wolfson asks, what's pshat? Everything you always hear is always Rashi Tevis, Sofei Tevis, right? It's the first letter of the word, the last letter of the word, the third letter of the word? What does the third letter of the word have to do with anything? What in the world are we trying to say with the third letter? What's the third letter? What are we doing with that? So this is what he says. He says, in the middle means like this. If it's in the beginning of the word, that means the past. If it's at the end of the word, that means the future. In the middle of the word means right now. If Avner would be at the beginning of the pasuk, that means he never had a chance in the first place. He was destroyed from birth. From his shoresh, from his root, he was a dead man. He never had a chance ever in his life. If the letters would have been at the end, then that would mean he has no end. There's no way he can get a tikkun. He can't fix himself up. He can't do anything better. He will never get better. He's gone forever. Now that it's in the middle, it means he's got a past. He's got a future. He will get better. He will get better. And he had something that caused him to be in the position that he's in today. What does that mean? It means you always have a chance. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're going to do. Right now, where are you? Right now, what are you doing? Where are you right now? What do you stand for right now? Are you a good person or are you a bad person? What kind of a person are you? Right now, you're destroyed, but Rafi's 100% right. At the end of the day, we tell over the story all the time, which means his zecher is never totally lost. It was lost at that time. But at the end of the day, Avner is still around. And he's getting a tikkun every time you tell over this maisa. Every time, if you go home and you say this over on Shabbos, what happened to Avner? What happened to him? He gets a tikkun in Shemayim. Because everybody remembers and says, wow, everything's in Parshas Hazinu. And Avner gets the schus for that. He gets something for it. In Shemayim, he gets something.
What? Is that to say that he did tshuva?
This is the tikkun. There's something that he needed in this world. For this maisa become so popular. There's something that needed to happen with Avner. He must have been a tremendous person. He messed up. He did things that were wrong. But you always have a future. There's always something you can get to. So Bob Sharebi points this out. He's Reb Avner. Reb Avner. The race from Amarti stands for Reb Avner. Who has a Reb in front of their name? And you get it in the Torah. He's not an Astama guy. It's Reb Avner. He made it in. That's an unbelievable line. You can't believe that he made it inside here. And that it made it in as a Rebbe itself. That's the idea. The Lubavitcher Rebbe brings that down. I saw that the pshat is regarding this. Not from Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is just Stam. I believe it's from Rosh Shechter from 6 years ago, if I remember correctly. It's one of my notebooks. It says, Avner had within him, the pinsel of Yid. That little Yid inside, the thing that wants to do so good, the thing that wants to improve himself, that wants to do better, that wants to be a better person, that thing inside him is so powerful, it makes you into a Reb, even when you're doing Averus. Even when you're eating pig and shechting it on Yom Kippur. It's an unbelievable line. That's Reb Avner. That's how much of a person he was. Just like the Kohen Gadol goes with Nevel Lifnim on Yom Kippur, we don't have the Kohen Gadol anymore. We don't have Lifnei Lifnim. We don't have the Kodesh HaKadoshim anymore. What do we have? You go inside yourself, and you check out yourself, and you say, who do I want to be? What kind of a person do I want to be? Do I want to be a good person, or do I want to be a bad person? And you say to yourself, I want to be a good person. That's what it means. That's Lifnei Lifnim, and that's our chance that we can do. If you don't realize, and that's the shot. Everybody always says, Kofinos HaShem Arotani by a get. Do you need a guy to give a get? And the Rambam says you can force him, you can hit him until he says, I want to do it, I want to do it. Kofinos HaShem Arotani, and we pass in that way. How in the world? He doesn't really want it. Force him. Punch him in the face until he says, I want it, I want it. That's not really wanting it. Says the Rambam, the pshat is, he does want it. Deep down inside he wants it. Just the outside of him won't let him say it. He's trying so hard to say it. He wants to say, I want to do it, I want to get the get, I feel so sorry for it. But he can't do it. He can't do it. On the inside, he's crushing himself. The inside wants to come out. That's the pentolia, the little bit of an inside. That's how powerful you are. That's the kind of power you have. You haven't used it, but you can. You can. You can find it and bring it out and use it. That's the idea behind it. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's at the end of the parsha. You think it has nothing to do with anything? Oh, I'm going to rock it. This is going to be it's an awesome verse. Rav Schwab says to the parsha, Chukas. And then he adds on something over here that just hit me. The end of the parsha says, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go to Eretz Yisrael. Al asher ma'altem bi b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Because you have done me'ila against me and b'nei Yisrael. What's me'ila mean? What is the isser of me'ila? What's that love? Can't do me'ila. What does that mean? You can't?
Personal use of sacred property.
That's right. You can't use hektish. Not allowed to use hektish. What is ma'altem bi b'soch b'nei Yisrael b'mei merivas kodesh midvartzin? With mei meriva. With the water, when you hit the rock in Kaddish Midbar Tzin, you were ma'al me? You went to, you used Hekdish? How do you use Hekdish? An angel of Kiddush Hashem. But look at the next part. That's the question. Asher lo kiddash temosi b'sof ben Yisrael. You weren't Mekaddish me b'sof ben Yisrael. You didn't make a Kiddush Hashem. It already says you don't make a Kiddush Hashem. So what's the me'ila? What? Hakdish meaning sanctified property. Something that's given over to the Beis HaMikdash. So what in the world is he talking about?
The rock was holy.
No, where do you see that? The rock wasn't holy. You're making up stuff now. You can't make up stuff. You can't make up stuff in the Torah. That doesn't work. So what is it? How do you do this over here? This is going to be, it's an awesome board. He says the following. He says, oh, also, why did he say B'soch B'nei Yisrael twice? Asher ma'altem bi B'soch B'nei Yisrael? And lo kiddash demos bi B'soch B'nei Yisrael. What does that B'soch B'nei Yisrael mean? What are we referring to? See, listen to this. He says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu was told in Parshas Chukah, he was told, you know what you got to do? You got to take the staff. Let's look at the pasuk over here. It says, Taches amata. Take the staff, the hakel is the eda, atov aron achicha, and gather the people, you and Aaron your brother, divartam al aselway name, and speak to the rock in front of their eyes, and else in name of it, and it will give off its waters. Okay, very clearly, he was told to pick up the staff. What's the staff for? And then speak to the rock. Then later on it says, Vayikach Moshe samatu l'vnei Hashem kasher tivo. Moshe took the staff from in front of Hashem like he was commanded. A whole pasuk to tell you that he took the staff. What is the big deal about the staff? What does he want with the staff? You gotta go back. You gotta go back. What staff is this? So, there was a staff in the Parsha right beforehand, in Parsha's Korach. After the whole argument with Korach, B'nai Yisrael said, how do we know that Aaron's really the guy? How do we know that Aaron's the man? How do we know Aaron is the Kohen Gadol? So Moshe Rabbeinu was told, each Shevet should take a staff. Take a matah, and they'll put it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the next morning they're going to take it out, and whoever's staff is different from the others, you know, a little Sesame Street thing, whatever staff is different from all the others, that one will be the person who's going to be the echo. So they wrote the names on all the staffs, and they pulled out Aaron's staff, and Aaron's staff was Shkedim, full of flowers and Shkedim and all these things. So he was told the following. It says, "V'yim ma'achras Moshe found it. He brought all the matzahs, and each one put it." V'yam Hashem Moshe, "Hashavis matzah Aaron l'tnei oedus l'mishmeres la'os l'tnei Mary. Return the matzah of Aaron. Put it in front of the Aaron Kodesh as a mishmeres to be watched, to be a sign l'tnei Mary." for those people who rebel. All their complaints will be gone and they won't die. Use the staff. Whenever there's complaints, use the staff and everything will be perfectly fine. What was the next complaint after Korach? 39 years later. 39 years later, Korach was the last incident to happen to Klal Yisrael in the second year of the Midbar, until 39 years later they complained about the water when Miriam died. What do you do when there's a complaint? You bring out the staff. You bring out the staff. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told to do. Bring it out as an os livnei meri. What did he call Bnei Yisrael by those people? What did he call them? Shimuna Hamorim. Oh, rebellious people. Listen, oh, rebellious people. I mean, Asela Zeno Tilechamayim. Will we take out water? The hope set is for those people who are Bnei Meri. Those people are rebelling. You know what you do? Take out the staff. Show it to them. And just showing them the staff will take away all their tinnitus. They'll see the flowers on it. They'll say, what happened? Oh, yeah. Do you remember Korach? Let's not complain. It's going to stop all complaints. It's going to stop every complaint that you can possibly imagine. So what's the problem over here? Here's the issue. You have to have a muna that when you take out the staff, the complaints will go away. You have to trust me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that as soon as they see that staff, that's going to be good enough for them. Yan asher lohem mantam bi. Rak Yishen, says the Pasuk in Chukas. You didn't believe me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu to Moshe, because you hit with the staff. You thought the staff is not good enough, I can go ahead and show it to them. It's not good enough if I just showed them the staff. You have to actually hit something with the staff to show that other things can come from inanimate objects, such as the thick, which is inanimate, cause flowers to come out, so too if I hit an inanimate rock, water will come sprouting out. There'll be something that comes out. You didn't believe me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I told you to just show the staff, and you didn't do it. Where's the Me'ilah? Where was the staff? The staff was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's Kodesh. If he used it for the wrong reason, to hit the rock, that's Me'ilah. He's over on Me'ilah. And that's why it says, you have done Me'ilah to me, B'soch Bnei Yisrael, when you were among Bnei Yisrael. You did something terrible. You used this staff, which was Kodesh. It's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's like taking the Arun Kodesh and smashing it down in a rock and saying, oh, see, I got you the water. You can't do that. I'm sorry?
You kind of did that too.
Well, not exactly. The Lukos, maybe. But it's like taking the Arun Kodesh and going ahead and doing that. That's Me'ilah. You've used something for Kodesh for what? For nothing. Because you didn't trust me. Because you didn't trust me, Kaddish Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's B'soch Bnei Yisrael. From Bnei Yisrael, you should have believed me. Then in Bnei Yisrael, this would be good enough. And then the last part of it, what's the last part where it says, Asher Loki Dash Moshe B'soch Bnei Yisrael? Everyone agrees it was a Kiddush Hashem. I mean, how many people were there in Klal Yisrael? 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, not including women and children and older people. I mean, we're talking about 3 million people and their animals. And everyone drank from the water that came from that rock. Can you imagine a rock that gave out enough water for 3 million people? It could give you numbers. I mean, we're basically talking, all of Chicago. Water that would be able to give to drink for all of Chicago. Came up on the rock on that day. Who cares? Besides Lake Michigan. That's what it is. No matter what. I mean, that's unreal. It's unreal. That's an unreal amount that came up on that rock. You don't think there was a Kiddush Hashem? Everybody was like, I can do that. Nobody thought that. Like, everybody said, like, oh, it's from the staff. Oh, if I would hit a rock with a staff, I'm for sure going to get that. Of course it was a Kiddush Hashem. But it wasn't as much of a Kiddush. It was a Kiddush Hashem for people to see. But Bnei Yisrael is used to such miracles. They have the mun. They have the clouds. They had the water up until that point. They had Bear Miriam up until that point. They're used to such things. You want to make a real Kiddush Hashem? Talk to the rock. Speak to the rock and say to the rock, can I have some water? And the water goes ahead and comes out. That'll make a real Kiddush Hashem. You made a Kiddush Hashem, but you weren't makdish me b'soch Bnei Yisrael. Among Bnei Yisrael, who's used to such miracles, that's not enough of a Kiddush Hashem. But it was a Kiddush Hashem. That's why in Tefillah Geshem, which we're going to say very soon on Sukkos, the Tefillah that we say, please God, give us rain. We mentioned Ala Sela Hoch by Yezuvu Mayim. He hit the rock and the water flew out. The water flowed out. Why would we mention a chait? Why would we mention the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu sinned by hitting the rock. So it's a chait. Why would we mention that when we're mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us rain just like Moshe Rabbeinu when he did the chait? And why would we do that? Because the pshat is, it was a massive Kiddush Hashem. Not enough of a Kiddush Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu should have done a bigger Kiddush Hashem by speaking to the rock and said, well, I see he made a big Kiddush Hashem. And that Kiddush Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allowed the rain to come. Let the rain come because of us. And we'll show people how big of a, that will be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem.
as a kapara?
Don't sell what? As a kapara.
If that's something that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't sell yourself short. Within every rock, the water is there to come out. Within every Jew, there's that yid that wants to show itself. Within every staff, there's the flowers that could come out. Everything. No matter how much of a domain you are, no matter how much of a silent rock you are, you still can sprout forth with flowers. You can still show something. You can still do something. You got to find it. You don't realize how much power you have. You have no idea how much power you have. Because if you did, you would be careful with every step you take and every move and every word you say. Everything you do would be totally different. So we're not on that level. We're not on that level. We could try to have one day where you make sure that you speak only the right things and only in the right places and not in places where you can't talk. To have one day where you can stand most of the day and act like a malach. To have one day where you say to yourself, I wish I could do this. I know I can't. I realize that this is not going to be easy for me. I realize that I'm not going to be able to do this. But I want to. I'm just not ready yet. Just not ready yet. Maybe eventually, maybe years from now. Maybe soon. But I'm not ready yet. To say that is huge. Huge, because you don't get judged for your past or your future. You get judged for now. You get judged for the third letter in your name. And by the way, one is chesed, two is din, three is rachamim. The pure rachamim that comes to Klal Yisrael is because you're judged only at that moment. So mess up. But at that moment, are you messed up? At that moment, are you okay? Sure hope not. On Yom Kippur, you're messed up. Get up early. Lose a day of sleep. Sleep all out of Yom Kippur if you can. Sleep all out of Yom Kippur. And stay up as much as you can on Yom Kippur day. If you're bored, get a book that you can read while answering a main, while answering the different things. You gotta do it. This is the time to do it. Don't go to a minyan where you're gonna be done in an hour and a half. Go to a minyan where you can spend some time in a shul. So you don't have to do anything else. Because if you go home, you know you're going to fall asleep. You might do something bad. You might forget to make an asher yotzar. If you're in shul, it's a different story. Spend as much time as you can to be a different person. A totally different person. Of course, with responsibilities. Make sure that any responsibilities that have to be done are still done. You know, during the Elo, 4 years ago, five years ago when my wife went into labor, it's not like, I'm in Ne'ilah now. Clearly, you got to take off time. Clearly, even though you miss Ne'ilah. You have to do that. You can know where you are, know where you're holding, and try to hold as high as you possibly can. If you mess up, mess up, but try it. All right, have a good Shabbos.